on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Helen Shield.
I would recommend that if you try to think of foods that you can pack in your child's lunchbox that don't require any packaging, you know, cut vegetables and fruit and that sort of thing. And also, I think that in this whole issue, we've got to give the children a bit of credit that they can problem solve a lot of these issues. So there's no point in packing what you think is some really fancy plastic-free lunch and then having the child not want to eat any of it. So really ensuring that you can have that discussion with your child and working with them to find foods, whether it's making popcorn and putting that in a container or muffins or leftovers is a really great way to feed your child. And also most schools have a canteen, and working with the canteen, because often they might have, you know, regular meat pies in plastic and other things in packaging. If you can encourage the canteen through the school committee or however, you can access the canteen system to try and ask them to reduce their packaging waste, then that's going to reduce how much waste appears on the playground.
Sarah mentioned that with her Plastic-wise Taruna Group, that they have started and will continue to run workshops with school students where they can make their own beeswax wrap. So then they're connected with it and proud to use something they've made themselves, rather than feeling like mum or dad is pressuring them into using something that they think's a bit dorky.
Especially if they can choose the fabric or,
exactly,
that, you know, it becomes a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of what I've created. No, I don't want it wrapped in foil. What are you, mother? No foil. And what about the books themselves? I mentioned contact before. I mean, the idea for parents is to get these books as durable as possible for as long as possible. How do you get around plastic covering?
I guess when it needs to be as durable as possible, for most students, it needs to last at least the term or the year. It doesn't have to last forever. So you can find a lot of compostable options with paper and card. We use loose leaf paper at home and folders because we found that that's the best way to minimise waste. If we have an exercise book and the kids get halfway through it, and then you've kind of got this back half of an exercise book that never gets used.
Yeah.
Whereas loose leaf paper is, you're just using that paper and there's no waste. Having compostable rulers and wooden sharpeners and wooden pencils, crayons, you can avoid a lot of plastic that way.
Mm.
There's a lot of lamination of things that goes on in the classroom.
Yes.
So actually having a discussion with the teachers about which instances is lamination necessary because you're going to use that handout for years to come, and at which times is it just a one-off when it's just going to become waste afterwards. So it may not be in the front and centre of every teacher's mind, reducing waste. So it's probably part of the role of some parents to just have a little nudge and have a little discussion with their child's teacher to talk about how they can reduce waste in the classroom.
1300 222 936 is how you call if you have a war on waste tip for back to school. Robin Thomas, you're a parent who has this zero waste lifestyle. You live with your two children. We've had the beeswax wraps and maybe using paper in folders instead of covering books where possible. And what else do you find in your household works?
Well, I think for us a big step has been choosing the right lunchbox. We were, before our zero waste time, I was buying a plastic lunchbox every term and finding that the clips would break or the lid would get cracked, and it just weren't lasting the distance despite being sort of $30 a go.
Yes.
So we swapped to sort of insulated bag system, but then the zip would break and you end up thinking, well, I can't use this for anything now. So we had made the outlay of buying a metal lunchbox for both our kids. It was actually their Christmas present, so that's a good way of engaging your kids in this is something really special and you're going to look after it. And those have lasted my two boys, who are very active, normal throw your school bag around kind of kids. And so they're, I think they're up to their third or fourth year now of having a metal lunchbox. And that's great because it's got sort of sealable compartments in it. So you can just put in, you know, my kids today took chunks of cucumber, strawberries, and a roll wrapped in, we use a cloth wrap, but you could equally use a beeswax wrap. and no need for any plastic at all. And quite often I'll make my own snacks for them. So whether that's cupcakes in sort of a compostable cupcake case or fruit roll-ups or little mini quiches that stay together. And we've also got them metal thermos. So like Oberon said, they can take some leftovers that'll be still warm enough at lunchtime.
Oh, you put the hot food in a metal thermos?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just a sort of kid-sized thermos, not an enormous thing, but just fits one serving and it's still nice and warm for them at lunchtime.
And so, do they sort of groan the about it? How engaged are they?
Oh, totally engaged. In fact, when we were just chatting about school lunches this week, my eldest, who's 11, said, you know, occasionally we have wraps and they come in a plastic bag, you know, a pack of 12 or whatever they are. And he said, I don't want to have them anymore, Mum. It's too much plastic. It's just, you know, soft plastics are such a problem. I'm only going to have bread that we can buy, you know, without any packaging around it, or bread rolls that we can buy that aren't in a plastic bag. So he's made that decision not to have those anymore this year. And so they're both very engaged in it.
And certainly we're not trying to add extra pressure on parents at what is already a very highly pressured time of year, but if there is something you can do, you don't have to do everything if that's not feasible.
That's right.
If there's something you can do, then certainly we'd love to hear what it is too. 1300 222 936. Robin, thank you very much for being part of this. And Oberon, any other factors you think we need to consider? We've got the school lunches, we've got the school books.
There's things like school uniforms is a big one because, you know, kids grow at a rate of knots.
Like weeds.
Like weeds, don't they? So you can actually source a lot of school uniforms secondhand, or ensure that once your child grows out of it, that if you can't pass it on to a younger child of your own, ensure that it goes back into circulation for someone else's child to use.
Yeah, I don't know why I talk about children growing. I didn't. I don't think I didn't. I looked 10 until I was about 16.
and you, that can extend to some of the actual course materials or the curriculum materials for us. I mean, it's a bit of an aside, but I managed to get one of my daughter's maths books out of a shopping trolley at the tip shop, at the South Hobart tip shop, because it was just going to go to landfill and it was only a couple of years old. And it's not her only maths curriculum, but it's complementing her existing work. Mm. And so you get a lot of stuff at op shops and garage sales, whether it's uniforms or school supplies. Mm. So think about the secondhand options available to
and
you.
And if your school or community has a Facebook group or something set up where you can buy, swap and sell those things, surely more and more of those are coming up too.
Yeah, buy, swap, sell, share, barter, that sort of thing.